This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
Good morning and welcome into WEEI. Just a touch after 9 a.m. here on Saturday, January the 3rd, 2026. No Ken, no Curtis here this morning, but it is Dan Ball and John Lyons with you instead. 9 until 1 this morning into early afternoon. John Lyons, good morning. Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm doing well. So am I in the role of Ken or Curtis today?
I mean, what makes you feel more confident?
I'm Ken, I'm just going to give myself a promotion.
Yeah.
And if I'm Curtis, I'm just going to be like, climate change isn't real.
Okay, perfect.
So I don't know which one I should do.
We'll sort that out during the course of the
right,
show. Yeah,
right.
Whatever you feel more strong. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, you deserve yourself a promotion, so maybe that's where you want to go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you didn't think I'd start the show with that line, did you?
No, but I still think it's true nonetheless. But we are not the only two here in the studio. First of all, David Azer back behind the glass. Good morning, David. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys? It was a little weird without Jaffe and Razor at 7 a.m. this morning, but we're here. We're ready to go.
There you go. You got a couple smiling faces in front of you now, which is the most important thing. And joining us this morning, on his way to broadcast somewhere in the greater New England area, from the Red Sox Radio Network, pre and post. You can catch him on broadcast all around New England sports. Joe Weil, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, guys. Glad to be with you on this Saturday morning. And if you guys are playing the role of Ken and Curtis, I'm going to take the role of Lane Kiffin today, where I'm going to be eventually leaving a great team that'll become a championship team.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good line.
That's good.
And then we'll
have a great rest of the show after he leaves. I don't know about while you're here, Joe. I am excited, though, for today's show, Dan, because obviously, the Stephon Diggs and Christian Barmore news broke this week. Very serious stuff. So we spent a lot of time talking about that, both Mego and I, and obviously you on the afternoon show. So today, we'll touch on it a little bit, but we're going to get into what did 2025 look like for a lot of these Boston teams? And more importantly, what is 2026 going to look like? Because I think in 2026, Dan, there's a potential for some really interesting things to happen in Boston sports, whether it's Jason Tatum coming back for the Celtics, maybe the Red Sox decide to spend a little more in the next week and get better. Drake May could win the MVP. Patriots are a Super Bowl contender. Bruins, I don't know so much about that.
They're there.
But
hey,
we're going to get into
Will
that.
Zellers, James Higgins, the future of Boston is on its way.
And even you do have the Winter Olympics. You got some of their guys on that. So there's a lot of interesting things, I think, potentially happening in 2026.
Yeah, no doubt. So during each individual hour today, again, we're with you 9 till 1. We'll get into the year-in-review conversation that John mentioned and just where every team is going to try to reach the conclusion which Boston team is better, which Boston team is worse year over year, and will they be better in year's end in 2026? And Joe Weil is here to kick off our conversation on the Boston Red Sox, joining us here at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. So, Joe, you and I worked together about a week and a half ago. We talked about the Boston Red Sox at length, their offseason, and their lack of recent movement. And unfortunately, nothing new has happened since
the same exact place.
The last time that the two of us spoke. So my question to you based on that, I guess it's been 10 days or roughly since we last spoke. Is this playing into the Red Sox hand that all of a sudden we've had a bit of a freeze in action and now we're starting to inch closer to when players will start to report?
See, I'm still of the thought that the scenario that seems the most realistic, as crazy as this sounds probably for a lot of people, is that Alex Bregman is going to be a Boston Red Sox. I have no intel on that. I'm following the same thing that everybody else is right now. But in terms of what we know about Alex Bregman after this past season, how much he enjoyed being with the Red Sox and how the fit was so good, both in the clubhouse and then when he was actually on the field and healthy, I'm still of the belief that eventually the Red Sox are going to get this thing done and bring him back into the fold. It makes too much sense, honestly, for both parties to not make it happen, because you think of the other teams that are out there. I think with the Diamondbacks, I just don't think as a team, and especially for a player that has been in the postseason as frequently as Alex Bregman has been in his career, where they're at compared to where the Red Sox are at, if you just bring him back, I think the Red Sox are in a better position than the Diamondbacks. And then, you know, we've heard some rumblings about the Blue Jays as well. I'm more worried about the Blue Jays as it's related to Kyle Tucker. Like, that's a guy that I cannot believe is still not signed to this point. And this is where the baseball offseason frustrates me so much, because I just think it's better if you get these guys into the fold with other teams faster. This does not happen across other sports. You think about what the Kyle Tucker equivalent is in the NFL or the NBA. Those guys would have been signed just like that. Right.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go. And there's a difference about that in terms of, you know, obviously how the leagues are set up in free agency in Major League Baseball. But to me, it just makes too much sense for him to not be a Red Sox. Now, if that doesn't happen, I think at that point, because I understand the frustration that's out there in the Red Sox Nation right now about the lack of free agents that have been signed. So if that doesn't happen, then I think it's okay to start being panicked and a little worried about where this team is at. How do you guys feel about that?
So it's interesting when you said you think Bregman's going to be a member of the Red Sox, but you use that word eventually, and it just leads me, are they just doing the same thing they did last year where they're kind of willing to wait till February, he'll take this offer eventually, and I don't think it's going to be one in 40 million with an option, but is it just kind of they're following the same playbook and expecting that, like you said, he won't want to go to Arizona, Toronto might pivot, or they might re-sign Bo Bichette anyway? Is that kind of what we should be expecting here?
I think so. I think they're just trying to get him at his price, which is annoying, right? We want this just to be done, and again, to not worry about it, knowing that, okay, if you bring him back, this team looks pretty good going into 2026. And I still think, as Dan and I talked about, I think roughly 10 days ago, the notion about the American League, to me, is still like that it's wide open. I think that's still true. Now, you have the Blue Jays who add Dylan Cease after just making the World Series. That's a good team. They obviously right now, offensively, you look at them without Bo Bichette, and we'll see what they do, you know, kind of for the rest of the offseason here, and if they do sign a big free agent on that front. But again, outside of them, like why couldn't – I know this would say, okay, you're the wild card team in the American League East. At least you'd vault past the Yankees.
So can I
– Yeah.
But the Yankees are going to get Gerrit Cole back this year, and the Orioles add Pete Alonso. So, like, that's my concern here, guys, is that I do think Wilson Contreras helps you. I think Sonny Gray helps you. I think if you bring Bregman back and add him to those two things, you're probably better than you were a year ago. But, I mean, are the Orioles – I mean, look, Adley Rutschman had a really bad year. I don't think that's going to happen again. Are the Orioles going to take a jump forward? Is a team in the Blue Jays that just made Game 7 of the World Series adds Dylan Cease? I think they're going to get better. And the Yankees, their offseason's not done, but you have a pitching staff of multiple All-Stars and you're bringing back Gerrit Cole. Like, that's my worry, is that even if the Red Sox bring Bregman back, excuse me, and they're a little bit better, I don't know. Are they still better than some? You know what I mean?
I think they could be better than the Yankees.
Okay.
And here's why. The Yankees, I think, you're right on Gerrit Cole coming back, but that's still not going to happen at the beginning of the year. Okay. They're going to also start the year without Carlos Rodon, too. Like, in terms of what they've done, I mean, they haven't really done anything, in to my estimation. They bring back Amed Rosario, who did get the big hit against the Red Sox in Game 3 of the wild card series.
But that's a low-end starter at absolute best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, but to
and
me,
you're still down Bellinger and I think Goldschmidt as well.
Right. Whispers that Chisholm may or may not be there long-term.
Yeah, right. So
he's had a fun offseason. You guys follow that on Twitter?
Yeah,
oh, boy. Put the phone away.
I know. Isn't it crazy how online people are? Like, I think people forget that there's a digital footprint that you'll always have if you put something out there.
Yeah,
that was crazy. That was some crazy.
Yeah,
stuff.
That was the prime example of like, hey man, read a book. You know, go for a walk. go explore nature for a little bit and put your phone down, because we're learning too much information. Regardless, that does the point, you know, tweeting aside, does illustrate the Yankees are down year over year as currently constructed.
Right. And I just think the urgency should be there for this team to continue to upgrade. And I think people are sleeping on how good the rotation can be this year. I think they're in a really good spot pitching wise, but you got to match it offensively. The obviously the elephant in the room continues to be without Bregman being signed is you've traded Rafael Devers. And offensively, we were talking about this off air before we just started. They were 22nd in home runs in Major League Baseball the day after they traded Rafael Devers. They have to figure out the power part of it. They have guys that are going to help if they can stay healthy, and we'll see what Roman Anthony can do in a full year. But I think the key is bringing Alex Bregman back to add the contact part of it, the home runs part of it, which he can bring to the table when he's healthy. And to me, they're still an incomplete team without him, which is exactly what Craig Breslow said, which is frustrating being in January and still having these guys out there.
You know, it's a conversation, John, that I feel like maybe you and I have had and that we've just had within the context of the Red Sox often during this offseason. You cannot build your team in a vacuum. You can't just head in your own boat, build it according to plan, build it to what the models say every single offseason and expect to be successful. A part of what you're doing simply has to be reactionary to what's going on around you, where if the Blue Jays, to Joe's point, go to the World Series and add Dylan Cease and are about to add Kyle Tucker and have Trey Savage coming up and taking another step in that rotation. And if the Yankees are adding Garrett Cole back to the mix, if the Orioles, I should say, are adding Pete Alonso and may sign Ranger Suarez or Framber Valdez or something along those lines, you have to realize that the arms race is starting to build up in your own division. And if I sit pat and just go along with my plan and try to build it according to my model of organizational efficiency, that's how you fall behind other teams in your own division. And that's kind of what I worry about and feel like we're seeing so far.
And that's where, to me, guys, the Dylan Cease thing frustrated me a lot, because you look at Sonny Gray. Now, last year, fourth in K rate. He's a good pitcher. He's going to be 37 next year. You probably have him for 1 year. Dylan Cease, who I think is a better pitcher, signs a 7-year deal. So at the end of that deal, he's 37. So it's not like you have Dylan Cease till he's 40 or 41. They would be the same age at the end of their deals. One guy's better. And as long as Sonny Gray has been a pitcher, which is obviously, I think, what, 13, 14 years, whatever, he's only got 6 playoff starts. So Cease has more playoff experience. And don't forget that 2024 Dodgers team, the toughest series they had was that Padres NLDS,
right,
which Cease was a part of. So I just, like, to me, that kind of like to your point, Dan, it's like yes, Sonny Gray helps them and makes them better, but they didn't go with the best option there. And then that best option, at least in my eyes, then goes to your division rival. Like, that's where it's like I worry about this team, even with, like I said earlier to you, Joe, with Bregman. Yeah, they'll be better, but are they still falling behind a little bit, especially over the next couple of years?
I just don't see, Joe, I don't see any killer instinct anymore from the Red Sox front office. I don't see, and it's a shame, and this is nothing new. This goes back beyond Breslow. This kind of began with the changing over from the Dombrowski era to the Bloom era and has now kind of followed to the Breslow era. They are so beholden to the dollar and cent approach to making sure that every dollar is maximized that I just don't see that killer instinct anymore of a team that's willing to do whatever it takes to win baseball games. And that is helped with the signing of a Bregman or a Bichette if they end up doing that. And I think that's ultimately where this thing could be headed. But you just don't feel that same oomph during the offseason that you did, I guess, maybe five to 10 years ago at this point.
Well, and you wonder with all of this how much is just based on the ownership part of it. And, like, if he wants to make moves and he's being hamstrung by how much they can spend. This is what I find so fascinating about the whole Alex Bregman dynamic as it's related to this organization is that you look at how it played out last year. They sign him in February, and then kind of it was off and rolling then. But of course, it was on the Red Sox terms and also Bregman's too. It was okay. You do the short term deal with an opt out, and you sign him for $40 million. But of course, he can kind of retest the market after that. Yet this is a player that was heralded as the clubhouse leader, and then we got to actually see it in real time unfold where he's having an impact on the young guys. And again, it wasn't a perfect year because he got hurt and he wasn't the same player after that. But when do you see this in sports where everybody is sort of saying, okay, this is the guy right? This is the leader. And then you don't figure out a way to link it or lock him up long term. Like, then he goes to test the market. And to your point about urgency, that's what's so confusing about all of this. It's like, yeah, he's our leader, but we're not going to figure this out right away to bring him back into the fold long term, right? It's a very rare dynamic across sports where you see the team player relationship like this, where they're anointing him as the clubhouse leader, yet the urgency to kind of have him locked up long term isn't there. And that's where I think this organization gets kind of caught in itself a little bit. Is like, and I think that's where people get frustrated too, right? It's okay, we're talking about building a long-term sustainable team. All right, now we finally made the playoffs after missing it, you know, for three straight years. Where's the urgency to make sure that this team gets back there? And especially when it comes to a player that allegedly meant so much to this group. Again, I'm trying to think of a comparison across sports where it's similar to what the Red Sox and Alex Bregman have right now.
It's troubling how hard it is to find one, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. It's just confusing, and I think that's where this organization gets kind of caught up in itself, and that's why I think the fans get so restless too. It's like, yes, it's this mixed bag of you have made real moves to make this team better. We all agree Wilson Contreras makes them better at first base in terms of you can't rely on Tristan Casas. I think we can all agree that maybe Sonny Gray wasn't the ideal number two starter. He will make this rotation better. Johan Oviedo has the upside to make this rotation better. It's not that they have done nothing. It's just the wishy-washy part of kind of the totality of all of it that we're like, yeah, they're better, but that urgency that we've seen from this organization, especially with this ownership in the past, isn't quite there. And I think that's why the whole fan base is sort of in this weird state of, yeah, we know that this team is better, but we don't necessarily feel as great as we could about where they're heading in 2026.
You can join the conversation at any point today via call and via text, 617-779-7937. We're talking with our guy Joe Weil of the Red Sox Radio Network. And coming up next, we'll do our year in review. 2025, are the Red Sox in better shape as we sit here right now than they were 365 days ago? And what does 2026 look like for the Red Sox? We'll do all of that after David Azar gets you caught up on what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We're back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
So part of the theme today is doing a year in review, which is what we're getting into now. Dan Ball, John Lyons with you, Joe Weil in studio talking Boston Red Sox. David Azar, where does the Coldplay incident rank amongst your top witnessed moments of 2025?
It's got to be up there, but admittedly, the memory's a little hazy. I had a wonderful time at that concert. I do remember it happening, but the fallout, not so much.
And I was having a conversation on New Year's Eve with somebody about that same topic. How they the original reaction was, oh, that's kind of weird. And then just a mild, oh, I think we might have just caught something. But you didn't really realize it was going to be this ultra viral moment when it was first happening. But then it became one. And so we're back here on WEEI. Thanks so much for spending some time with us here on this Saturday. Before we get into our Red Sox year in review and year preview, Kevin is in Holyoke on the Sox. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Just wanted to bring up that I think the Red Sox don't have a second starter. I think that Gray is more of a third starter, and I think they dropped the ball by not going and getting you brought up Dylan Cease earlier. He would have been perfect.
Kevin, thank you for the call, and I'll take it a step further. I think Sonny Gray should be a fourth starter. I think it should not be a guarantee that Sonny Gray is making playoff starts for your team.
And I know we mentioned Dylan Cease, we kind of talked about him at length, but the guy that I wanted just as much and I think would have been maybe even a better fit for them payroll-wise was Michael King,
yeah,
who missed part of last year. Another guy from that Padres rotation. He ended up going back to San Diego, but missed most of last year, but 3.5 ERA when he came back. In the previous 4 years, his ERA was below three. Excuse me, the previous 3 years. So yeah, 3 years in a row below three ERA. Last year comes back from injury. It's 3.44. Like, this is a good pitcher at a good age, signed for 3.75 with San Diego. That, to me, is a real missed opportunity. Because if you put him, and obviously Dylan Cease too, but you put a guy like Michael King behind Garrett Crochet, then we're talking Bayo is your three, Gray is your four, or flip him, you know, Gray is your three, Bayo is your four, whatever. And then you can kind of mess around with that five spot. Maybe it's Connelly early. Maybe it's Peyton Tolley. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's, you know, if Tanner Houck eventually works his way back. This, you know, you could kind of mess around and find something that works at that spot. So I agree with the caller. I feel like that's part of this offseason that's been a missed opportunity. And I know we've been talking about Joe Ryan for like 7 months now.
Right.
Well, like, I don't know if that's
Fox.
It.
Fox tried to tell us that he was a member of the Boston Red Sox.
What a tease that was.
As was famously incorrectly broken by Fitzy on WEI Afternoons. That was fun. Anyways, the ultimate kind of mission statement that we were given, Joe, at the beginning of the offseason was a power bat, a complimentary bat, and a number two starter. The Red Sox would try to tell you that they have accomplished more of that than I would. I would argue you've accomplished the complimentary bat. You missed out on the power bat when he went down to Baltimore, but you replaced that with a very functional first baseman, and I get that. They will tell you Sonny Gray is a number two starter. Are there metrics behind that argument that the Red Sox would use?
See, there is, and I there's part of this that is feeling based, I think, amongst people, which is understandable compared to, I think, the closer reality there. Now, as it's related to Dylan Cease, like, I would have loved to have him in Boston. I was telling Dan this before. I covered him when he was with the White Sox in their system. I called his games back when he was in high A. Great guy. I caught up with him 2 years ago, actually, at Fenway, and he said his favorite visiting ballpark was Fenway. So I was hoping at some point that could be a reality, that would be his home ballpark. That being said, what's interesting to me is Dylan Cease, outside of his almost Cy Young year in 2022, he's been one of these guys that has characteristically underperformed what the metrics would say he was supposed to be, and that's because of his high walk rate and some of the hard contact that he can give up. despite the good strikeout stuff. As it's related to Joe Ryan, I brought this up before, but I thought Alex Spear did a nice job kind of characterizing, as it's related to Sonny Gray, the thoughts out there about him compared to the actual reality of what he did last year, which was something similar to what a number two starter looked like. If you compared him to Joe Ryan, who we all would have liked, and I still would have liked him better than Gray because of the age part of it and the fact that you'd have him for more than 1 year. I think that's in part the issue with bringing Sonny Gray in, is that you only have him for one season. That being said, he threw more innings than Joe Ryan last year. The K rate was only one percentage point behind Joe Ryan. He had a better walk rate, better home run per nine, better ground ball rate, better barrel rate, and then in terms of like Fangraphs wins above replacement, which of course I always have to mention I'm a nerd when I'm on the airways, and because I love Fangraphs, and I will fully own it, and that's totally fine. But that was better than Joe Ryan too. So I think he can perform as a number two starter for this team this upcoming year. I think he's even better than Brian Bello. Again, just kind of looking at it all going into this next season. But I understand, and again, this is like where I understand where the fan base is at. I understand like the feeling of having to him as your number two starter, this guy that's 36 years old, doesn't feel quite as good as going out and signing Dylan Cease and spending the money to do it. And then on top of that, maybe somebody like Joe Ryan, who, again, had this great season.
And I think, too, some fans look at Sonny Gray's one time in a big market in New York, and it didn't go well.
It went awful.
And again, that could be a trend.
I'm that fan.
Yeah.
Just like that, clear.
And I think one thing we've seen, too, that's still true in the MLB, is that even with, second time through the order, third time through the order, the higher usage of relievers, if you're going to win in the postseason, you have to have multiple high-end starting pitchers. Like, Yamamoto was arguably the best player the Dodgers had in the playoff run, especially in the World Series.
Right.
But we saw them using starters all over the place. I mean, they signed Sasaki before the year as the starter. He ended up coming out of the pen. We saw Ohtani have that great start against the Brewers. And it's not just them either. I mean, you mentioned the Blue Jays earlier with Gausman, Yesavage, and you have to have multiple high-end starting pitchers. In my eyes, you have to have two all-star caliber starting pitchers if you're going to go deep in the play. And you can look at the Red Sox, whether it was when they had Pedro and Schilling or Sale and Price, but you can also just look at the last, even the Diamondbacks, who everyone's like, 84 wins and they made the World Series. Look at Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly that year. They were awesome. You have to have those guys, and it feels like the Red Sox have one of those guys in Crochet. I just don't think they have the other guy right now.
Well, does this make you feel any better? Because we talk about postseason stuff, and it's not a huge sample size, but it's interesting when you brought up Dylan Cease, because, again, I'm a huge Dylan Cease fan, both personally and just watching him pitch. He has an 8.74 ERA across five outings, four starts in the postseason. Sonny Gray in, I think it was six, I just lost it.
Yeah, six starts, I think.
Six starts, he's got an ERA of about 3.5 basically in postseason action. So yeah, I just think the age part of it, if they got Sonny Gray 4 years ago, and that would have been closer to his Yankee run, which was a disaster. And it is interesting looking at those old videos of him when he joined the Yankees being I'm pumped to be here, and he said he was a fan of the 09 World Series team, and then joins the Red, then of course in the introductory press conference for the Red Sox, throwing the 07 cap and, talking about how much he hated being in New York, even though he said it helped him grow as a person. That part of it's interesting to me. And it's going to make the rivalry even more fun this upcoming year. We need a Sonny Gray, sorry to get off topic, but we need a Sonny Gray Cam Schlittler matchup at
Yankee Stadium. With Gray there after saying he didn't like it there.
We need one. How about we get one in each? One at Yankee Stadium and then one at Fenway, because I think both would be electric.
I think that's fair. You lose Hunter Dobbins as the mouthpiece for the rivalry, so you might as well add Sonny Gray to that. But the ultimate point that we wanted to bring you in there for, Joe, is a look back and a look ahead for the Red Sox as part of kind of the year in review that John and I are doing today. So I ask you the establishing question. From January 1st, 2025 to now January 3rd, 2026, are the Red Sox in a better or a worse position than they were a year ago?
They are in a better position, and I think the reason I feel that way is because of Roman Anthony.
Okay.
First and foremost, you have a guy that has the upside of being one of the best players in Major League Baseball. Alex Cora had compared him at one point this offseason to Juan Soto when he came up. And he said not completely, but I think it's not a completely off base comparison. Where when Juan Soto came up as a teenager, he had an impact on the Nationals. And Roman Anthony had that exact same impact when he was with the Red Sox. To me, the crazy thing about Roman Anthony is that he not only had a great season, I mean, he had 140 OPS plus, but I this stands out so much to me, is that the Red Sox record in games that he played was 44-27. Now, that coincided with when their rotation really kicked into high gear and they went on that great run in the summer months, where it was Bayo, Crochet, and Giolito having like three of the five best ERAs in the American League. But to me, to have this guy as your kind of stalwart, and now you've had locked him up long term, sets you up really well. And the question becomes, can they add the supplementary pieces around him to really push this team to be a true championship team, as we've talked about? I think the rotation's in a better spot. My concern going into 2026 is can your bullpen be as good as it was last year? Because you got a great season from Meraldus Chapman at the age that he's at, but now he's going to be 1 year older. Garrett Whitlock had a healthy season in the bullpen too, but now you have to replace some guys that were also pretty good, like a Justin Wilson, that kind of bridged the gap from the starters to those back end guys. But to me, he's key. And then, can this team get Christian Campbell right as well?
I'm glad you brought him up, because I wanted to ask you about him, because this is a guy, you know, AL Player of the Month, you know, March and April, totally falls off offensively and defensively. And what concerned me, Joe, was not that, okay, they sent him down, like that was concerning, but he never made it back up. And it felt like he never got close. Like, they bring up Anthony, they bring up Meyer, and even when those guys get hurt, and Bregman's obviously missed some time, it felt like he never got close to coming back up. Like, I'm worried what the fit is there, because I feel like, let's say you re-sign Bregman, he's at third, Meyer's at second, you already have four outfielders. Contreras is at first, Story's at, like, I'm worried about him falling through the cracks. And it's just being that 1 month flash in the pan.
I think that's a fair concern. And I think what's super interesting too, again, about all this, and this is again where I think some of the direction of the organization, it gets confusing at times, is that they had the conviction to lock him up long term early on, and then again, right, he slumped, and for whatever reason that was. And I think they threw too much at him too. You know, I think to have him play the infield and then have be in the outfield.
While taking drills at first base.
And then taking drills. When they got to that point,
And they have a tendency to do that. Like, Rafael is the best defensive center fielder in the AL, and then they put him at second base some game.
Right.
Like, it's a tendency they have to do with guys. Like, we saw Meyer play games at short, second, and third as a young player. It's a tendency that I don't love, Joe.
Well, and I think what's interesting, too, and you bring up both those examples, like, those guys can handle it because they are good defensively. Like, Rafael, even though I think we'd all love him to stay in center field, he is at least like a plus defender at second base. Whereas for Campbell, that was always the question, is like, okay, we know that the bat can be there. Where do you put him? Second base clearly was not working out for him. And then I think ultimately the outfield is where he's going to stick. Right. As you said, though, John, you have all these outfielders. They still haven't figured out, okay, what is Jarren Duran for us long term? And that hasn't quite been figured out. But to me, Campbell's an interesting part of all this. And I also think if we're talking about like 2025 review stuff.
Yeah.
You have one prospect of the big three that looks like a superstar in Roman Anthony. So that's like an A+ right there.
Love it.
Marcelo Meyer. We saw there is potential there. I liked what I saw in his rookie season, although I think he swings too much on pitches out of the zone. He's got to work on that.
And we got to keep him on the field.
Got to find
a way to keep him on the field.
And that was the essential point there, is we still have long-term questions, too, about his health. Can he get through a full season? Because he hasn't done that yet as a professional. But I think it's kind of a mixed bag, in my opinion. Whereas the Christian Campbell thing, compared to the hype and especially what we saw at the beginning of the season, that's one of those that I think organizationally, I don't want to say is it failure, but I think by the end of this 2025 season ended up being a disappointment compared to what we thought he could be. We thought he could be a rookie of the year. He looked like that through the first month, and then it ultimately kind of fell apart for several different reasons. So I think what's fascinating about looking back at this past year is, like, it's just this mixed bag of the big three, where one feels great, one feels okay, and one right now doesn't feel particularly great, but hopefully has the upside of figuring itself out.
And I think another guy we should include in this, and in my opinion, one of the best stories of 2025, was Carlos Narvaez.
Oh, great story.
I mean, to me, should have been an all-star. I mean, no offense to Alejandro Kirk, but I thought Narvaez was better the first half of the year. Tailed off in the second half of the year at the plate, but still, this is a guy that, I mean, how many teams, guys, in the majors, honestly, feel good about their situation at catcher? Like Milwaukee, L.A., Seattle, yeah. Baltimore.
It's thin.
It's
third of the league, maybe?
If you have a guy there that you feel good about who's young, long-term, I think that's another guy that we should include in this. And I know he's not a guy they drafted and developed, but when we talk about the big three, I think he's a guy that should also be added to that discussion. Because when I think of what's going to help them take a step forward and go deeper in the playoffs, he's going to be part of it. Like, Campbell might not be part of it. Anthony will. I think Meyer will. And I think Narvaez will.
I totally agree with that. Bet one of the best defensive catchers in Major League Baseball. And think about how badly they needed him, too, with the season that Connor Wong had as well.
I cannot be
glad we
to
traded
think.
Mookie Betts for that guy, right?
Sorry. That is the Connor Wong trade.
Sorry.
It's the Jeter Downs trade.
Sorry, listeners, I won't bring that
to listen, you have to. Unfortunately, it's a part of
meanwhile,
all.
Meanwhile, Mookie's playing great at shortstop and winning another World Series.
Three
the whole thing has been a disaster.
Well done, David. But, yeah, there were certain players for the Sox in the first half of the season before they kicked it into high gear and made their run to kind of put themselves in position for the playoffs that kept them afloat. And Carlos Narvaez was one of those guys. And it was fun talking to him in June. It was right before they played their first series at Yankee Stadium, going back to where he was a major leaguer for the first time. He was so just thankful for the opportunity, but I think it gave him fuel to the fire that he wasn't a part of that Yankee team that made the run to the World Series. He was like one of the extra squad
yeah
members.
He was to use the hockey term, he was a black ace. He was the guy
exactly.
that eats the popcorn in the Raptors.
He said the way he phrased it was like, I was a little depressed, honestly. Like, I didn't get a chance to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Kind of watching it all unfold. And then he gets his opportunity and absolutely runs with it. Like, that's a great trade by Craig Breslow. Now the hope is he can kind of back that up and have a good sophomore season. Maybe the bat is a little bit more consistent. It was great at the beginning of the year, kind of fell off toward the end. But
I think consistency in general is something you can hope for. Now that he's played a full season, you understand the grind of playing a full season.
For sure. And also, I think with catchers, but I think first and foremost, you got to take care of the pitching staff, and he's done that. And they love him. Like, you heard the guys just talk about him, you know, behind home plate. They loved pitching to him, and the results kind of showed that too. So to me, that was one of the fun parts of 2025, that storyline, like the captain joke, that it was obviously a Section 10 thing, but I love that. Like, I loved everything about him. He had the swagger. He's one of those guys that you just feel really good about going into next year.
So one last thing I want to get really both your guys' thoughts on as we look back to 2025 and into 26 is we had a lot of instances the past couple of years of them bringing up young players that were not ready for the big leagues. Like, Roman Anthony was really the exception, who came up, was ready, was good, basically after the first couple of weeks, was one of the better hitters in baseball and was really good. And we mentioned Narvaez, and the reason I bring this up now is it felt like Narvaez and Abreu were the two young guys they've had in the last few years that were fully ready for the majors. And they were both developed somewhere else.
Right. Yep.
So, and Breslow talked about this during the year, about taking a top-down look at everything. Cora talked about this. Joe, have they done anything in their player development, or is there anything they can do that either of you guys think is going to help improve that? Because, I mean, they have so many young guys, and it just feels like a lot of them come up, and they're just not quite ready for the big time when they come up.
Well, and I think it was good that Craig Breslow acknowledge that.
And I agree with you on that.
And I think that this is an issue across all of baseball right now, where there is such a and I've heard younger players kind of talk about this too. It's an interesting dynamic about the minor leagues, because as somebody that broadcasted games full time in the minor leagues at one point, it is a fascinating dynamic, because it's so development based, right? Wins and losses, I think. While you want to say it matters, I think organizations do say it matters. I think the overarching feeling is that it doesn't quite matter. You want the guys to develop to be the best players that they can be down there, so that when they come up, they can be the best players in the major leagues. And the thought is, if they're developing their skills down there, then they can help us win at the major league level. There has to be something, I think, across baseball that changes from a mentality standpoint of when you're down there in the minor leagues, you're also learning to quote unquote win games too. I think it's an issue across Major League Baseball right now in terms of player development, because then when these guys get up to the major leagues, obviously the whole mindset changes of, yeah, what I'm doing has to help us win games. And that includes if it does require a bunt, and bunting isn't really a thing across Major League Baseball, but I know how to get that down. And we saw the Red Sox kind of get killed by that in the wild card series against the Yankees, because I still keep replaying the seventh inning of game two, where they had two on, nobody out, and Rafael couldn't get the bunt down. And then they ultimately didn't bring anybody in, you know, in that kind of pivotal moment. And then the Yankees end up winning that game. Like, it's little stuff like that. And also the errors part of it, too. If we have to make any resolutions for 2026, can the Red Sox not lead the major leagues in errors?
I
think what's frustrating is that they have the potential to be one of the best defensive teams in Major League Baseball. You look at, like, outs above average, defensive runs saved, all that stuff. Alex Cora talked about it. They have one of the best outfields in the sport. And I think he's not crazy in saying that at all, especially when you have, like,
they have two gold glovers in the outfield.
No, it's not insane at all. But you have to clean up the mistakes, too. It's great that you have guys that can go get the ball, but the routine plays have to be made. That has to change.
Big step in the right direction this offseason. They did hire new defensive coaches for their minor league affiliates. According to a report, they doubled their amount. Now it's from 2 to 4, so that's not huge, but it is significant in that it seems like they're recognizing that they're just simply not teaching defense. That was something Craig Breslow almost admitted directly during the course of the season, is that we've been so focused on the individual power statistics and hard hit rate and all the stuff that Driveline finds offensively and those individualized statistics that we weren't focused on defense and we weren't focused on winning, which is something Lou Maloney had to say as well. So, Joe, before we let you go, where the heck are you heading, man? You're wearing nearly a suit right now with us. Where are you going?
I'm usually not this dressed up at 9:45 in the morning
on
Saturday, but I'm going to UNH, calling UNH Vermont, kickoff of America East play.
Nice.
So it should be a lot of fun. Vermont's, as people probably know, always a favorite in that conference, but UNH has had some fun wins this year, including a 25-point comeback in the second half. Actually, it was against my alma mater in BU, so that was kind of interesting to call, but it was fun, and should be a fun Saturday, but thanks for inviting me in, guys. It's great to see you.
Hey, pleasure is ours. Thank you for helping us get ready, review, and preview for the Red Sox. Joe Weil, part of the Red Sox Radio Network, and just follow him on social so you find out where his car is taking him on any given weekend. But we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll transition over to the New England Patriots. It's been an eventful, tumultuous week, to say the least. We'll recap the week and get you ready for Patriots and Dolphins next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Back here on WEEI, Dan Ball, John Lyons. Here on this Saturday morning with you. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Thanks to Joe Weil for joining us to talk a little Red Sox. We'll talk some Bruins, and we'll do so with Pete Blackburn coming up at 11:30 as part of our show today. We're taking you up until 1 o'clock. You got KJ and Tom Carroll 1 until 4 this afternoon. John Lyons, you and I have had a very busy week. Holiday season is fill-in season. You and Megan Onalita doing a tremendous job in for Jones and Keefe. And you guys were the ones on the air when the first of two accusations came out involving Patriots players, the first of which being Stephon Diggs. Needless to say, John, you didn't see the week that was in Patriots Nation coming when you started this week?
Yeah, definitely one of those things where the story broke at it was like 11:30 a.m., and we were kind of like, all right, what's going on here? And then within a few minutes, you started reading the news stories. You're like, whoa, this is really serious. Then 20 minutes later, the team came out with, I think, one of the strongest statements to defend someone they've come out with maybe this century.
Yeah.
Like, it really harkened me back to, like, and I know it's not the same thing, but like Deflategate, when they came out with the Wells Report and Context website, like that's how strong. And remember, and I don't know if you remember this, but like the week before the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, Kraft went to a press conference and was like, we should get an apology from the league for this. Like that's how strong, again, different situation, this Diggs statement was. That was really eye-opening to me. Then you have the Barmore situation come up, and it was just one of those things where this team has had such a great season. Their quarterback might win the MVP. Their coach is going to be a top three, top four coach of the year candidate. Maybe he'll win it. They're going to have at least one playoff game at home, maybe multiple playoff games at home. It's an exciting year after them, by the way, being really bad for 2 years, but yet we spent most of the week talking about stuff off the field, which obviously are serious in themselves.
Of course.
Then you look at it from a football perspective. It could be a detriment to the team in itself. I mean, depending on if these guys are available, if they're not available, even if they are available, does it affect them? Does it affect other guys? So certainly a week that we were not expecting, you on the afternoon show, we were not expecting.
Yeah.
And it's really just an unfortunate and a frustrating thing that, you know, you've had such a great season. I mean, really everything we've talked about this year, Dan, with the Patriots, I would say, and we're in sports radio, and still 90 to 95% positive.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this week it was just these two massive negative stories.
And it's ironic, you know, we were going to do our year in review and preview and all that kind of stuff for the Patriots later on in the show. And you talk about day one of 2025. You're still at the end of the Gerard Mayo quote-unquote era, if you want to call it that.
I actually think, correct me if I'm wrong, was it a year ago tomorrow was that game they lost to the Bills, January 4th?
Yeah, January 4th. My goodness. Yeah. What a year it's been.
They beat the Bills. I say they lost. They lost the number one pick. They won and lost.
I'll put one in quotes because that when you look at the win total of four games, it's a three-win season where you just happen to beat, you know, Buffalo High School. I know that Foxborough High School was in the news this week as well. But you had a seemingly a lame duck coach. You had a team without, in my opinion, a direction or a culture. They had an absence of a culture, which is we just need to distance ourselves from Belichick as much as possible. And year over year, when we sit here at the beginning of January, now we're talking about a team that's once again a Super Bowl contender, has the coach of the future, the franchise quarterback of the future, the offensive line, the left tackle of the future of all positions, and then that's the kind of news that comes. So we've got more coming up on the Patriots in just a moment, but before that, Paul is in Rhode Island. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I've been a Pats fan for a long time. I saw them play at Fenway Park back in the 60s.
Nope.
And I'm extremely upset about the way the Kraft family and the Patriots organization is handling this situation. First of all, these aren't just allegations. They're charges, felony charges. That means the police determined there was sufficient evidence to charge these guys. And domestic violence against women. Did you read Shaughnessy the other day?
Which piece from Shaughnessy?
He talked about the incredible contradictions. The Kraft family has said they won't stand for any players that commit domestic violence or violence against women.
Okay, Paul, thank you for the call. I did read that spot from Shaughnessy.
And then there's someone, there's a 508 texter that's like, well, this could be slandering people, which, look, it's a big story whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
And it's a real thing. Even if these guys are found innocent ultimately, it's still a big story and it's still serious allegations. It's still in the court system, so it's not something we can just avoid talking about. And it does affect the team on the. We're going to get into a Pats Dolphins preview coming up next in our next segment.
Yeah,
it does affect the team on the field too, and potentially in a big way going forward.
Yeah, it follows a lengthy list of injuries that impacts the team. We talk about X's and O's that impacts the team. This is something that, though it's off field, though it is not something that you can game plan around, is a distraction, is a cloud over a group that hasn't had a lot of adversity outside of a few injuries here and there that they've had to deal with. So we'll talk about that and more. Patriots and the Dolphins wrapping up what has been one hell of a regular season for the New England Patriots. The matchup, the implications, and everything else that comes with Week 18 for the Pats up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.